Welcome to NHL Draft Class, back for an eighth season. I am Adam Kimmelman here, as always, with Mike Morial. Mike, the road to the 2026 NHL Draft, we are officially kicking it off today. I know it probably started a few weeks ago when the CHL season began, but no, today, as we record this, is the official start date to the 2026 NHL Draft season.
Adam, three cups in, I am raring to go. Season eight, I can't believe it, buddy. Eight seasons. It's going to be another fun-filled journey, right? Navigating the 26 NHL draft landscape. Of course, as usual, we're kicking off season eight with our Players to Watch episode with special guest Dan Moore, the director of NHL Central Scouting. The Bureau released their Players to Watch list for the 26 draft on October 20. So you can head on over to NHL.com, view the list while you listen to the show. Players with an A rating are potential first round picks. Those with a B, second or third round choices. Players with C ratings are potential fourth, fifth round picks. And those with a W indicate a potential sixth or seventh round projection. And from what I've seen so far, Adam, looking at some video and looking at the list, a lot of defensemen, and we'll get into this with Dan Moore, and wingers in this class, not many natural centers from what I'm seeing. So looking forward to getting into this more with Dan on today's episode. The Western Hockey League looks to be the strongest of the three leagues, with the OHL probably the next closest. The QMJHL players, there were three taken in round one in 2025, and that should be a number that we see again that's very similar in 2026. But look, you know this. You've gone to Happy Valley a few times this year, Adam. It looks like the favorite to go number one, I don't think there's any question, is Gavin McKenna.
No, as we call it now, it's Hockey Valley, because Penn State is a hockey school. They don't have any other sports, certainly not a football team, so I've heard. But yeah, I had the opportunity to see Gavin McKenna at his home opener against Clarkson. What an experience. You know, like, I just want to back out a little bit. And I did this story on NHL.com. Just the overwhelming influence that he's already had. They're selling, you know, I walked into McClanahan's, which is the big on-campus store, and Family Clothesline, which is another one. And there up on the wall is a Saquon Barkley football jersey, Super Bowl champion, 2,000-yard rusher, and right next to him, right next to it, at eye level, same level, is a Gavin McKenna Penn State hockey jersey. They are right there, and they're selling, and I talked to people in both stores. They cannot keep this jerseys and the other paraphernalia that already has McKenna's name on it. They can't keep it in stock. It's going out the door as quickly as it comes in, not to mention all the online pre-orders. So he's become sort of this icon on campus, and he's been there, you know, a month. So the attention surrounding the hockey team, just in talking to students there, talking to people who work there, it's unlike anything they've seen for something that isn't a football player. So that's already the attention Gavin McKenna is getting off the ice. And then you watch him on the ice. It's, you know, you can see immediately that his teammate, players know players, and his teammates already know who their best player is. It's the 17-year-old freshman, who dominated the Western League. He hasn't quite gotten the offensive numbers to be dominant, but you see him with the puck on his stick, the things he can do, the vision he has, the passes he's made. You know, you saw it a little bit. The NHL Network showed his first two games out at Arizona State, two assists in his first game. You just see more and more and more of it as you move forward here. To me, the question begins at who's number two. Gavin McKenna is absolutely going to be the number one pick in the draft, barring something so beyond the pale happening, I can't even imagine it.
Yeah, and for our fans out there, I encourage you to look back. It's all evergreen material, great stuff that Adam wrote. It's up on NHL.com, so check that out. And look, as you mentioned, Adam, you know, McKenna, in two plus seasons in Medicine Hat, 79 goals, 244 points in 133 games. So there was nothing left to prove in the Dub. So he moves to NCAA hockey at Penn State. And now, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun watching him navigate the NCAA season, develop and mature even more.
Yeah, and super producer Phil, we're going to pull out that last quote that Mike said about having to go back and read my great stories. So just put a little pin in that one. So we're going to remember that because it was, you're right, it was good stuff. But no,
absolutely.
Gavin McKenna was great, you know, and you'll be able to follow him throughout the rest of the season as he plays on Penn State. You will have no problem finding Gavin McKenna games on TV. NHL Network already has picked up too, like we said. I'm sure there's going to be more to come. But let's talk about some of the other players that are going to be in this year's draft. Dan Marr, the vice president of NHL Central Scouting. We know it's a busy day, the release of the players to watch list. But how are you enjoying the start of the 2026 NHL draft season?
It's always exciting at the start of the year. You go around and you have expectations on the players that you saw in the last couple of years to see how they progressed. But then you're always, I find it very intriguing, the new players that pop up, players that you hadn't really anticipated. So far this year, we're off to a pretty good start as far as seeing a lot of players that are going to make the 2026 draft pretty intriguing.
Well, let's start right at the top. Gavin McKenna. Gavin said one of the reasons he decided to go to Penn State and try NCAA hockey this season was the chance to play against bigger, more physically developed competition. Obviously, it's early. He's only played a handful of games. But as you've watched him, has he looked like a player who's been able to do the things that make him special against this more physically developed competition?
Well, we've been fortunate. We've had scouted each of his first four games that he's played. And like any young player in a new league, there is some transition that has to take place, and you can see that in the game in his game. But because he can just read the play, read the situation so quickly. So like in the offensive zone, he's a wizard out there. And and you can see that in his game. There's other parts of the game with the timing, the pace, the up and down there that he's going to figure out in short order, but it's not like he's lost out there. He's just got to adapt to the league, just like anybody that moves upward in their league. But I think one of the more important parts is he's going to have the time to physically develop himself. And I was on a Zoom call with him and his parents and his agent a couple of weeks ago. And already I could see, because I last saw him at Memorial Cup, already I could see he's starting to get physically stronger. He's filling out, and being at the NCAA program where you have more time during the week to undergo and follow a proper training conditioning program, I can see he's getting the benefits of that. And then that's only going to add to his game. It's going to give him a little more confidence when he's out there in some of those one-on-one situations, which actually makes it pretty scariest how good he really could be down the road here. But in the offensive zone, he just works his magic.
I think it's fair to say, Dan, that every scout out there, every pundit that follows the draft feels as though McKenna is number one. But I guess one of the questions that's asked, often is how far is McKenna ahead of the next best player in the 26th draft?
Well, our list, it's called the preliminary list, and that's exactly what it is. We're so early in the start of the season, but by far and away, there was nobody close to Gavin coming into the season. I'm sure as the season progresses here, these other players are going to sort themselves out. Some are going to climb. Some will accelerate how much they move up in the rankings. Others will solidify their rankings. But the eliteness that Gavin brings right now, I haven't seen anybody that's going to come close. So right now, he's as solid as you can be as one of the best players available for the draft.
So, Dan, one of the guys we're going to talk about when we discuss, potential top five players is Windsor's Ethan Belichick. Could he be the best eligible player for this year's draft in the Ontario League right now? Because, when I look at him, 6'5", 228, the offensive skill set, he reminds me a little bit of the way we talked about Porter Martone a year ago when we were discussing, players for the 25 draft. Just curious, what have you liked about his game and what you've seen from him so far?
Well, Ethan is one of the types of players here where sometimes coming into the league with the special status, sometimes having that size, it actually could be a bit of a curse. And a lot of biases can creep in on the scouting side of things because now we're watching him for the third year. And what you don't like to see happen is they start to pick his game apart. But the thing that I like about Ethan is if this was his first year in the league at that size, people would be drooling. And right now, I think Ethan's in a tough spot to establish the type of identity he's going to have once he gets to the NHL because when you talk about size, you naturally want to assume that they're physical and that physicality is a big part of their game. But if Ethan was to go out there and start running guys over and putting guys through the boards, he's just going to end up in the penalty box. So he's actually having to adjust his game to play and have success at the OHL level. And what I find that I like about him the most is his consistency. So he's out there. He doesn't try and do the highlight reel plays. He just goes out there game in and game out. You can see his hockey smarts. He's got very good offensive instincts. He's shooting more this year. He's getting those opportunities. He's got the one-timer going now. The puck's going in the net. He knows how to get open. So he's shown all his offensive skills and his offensive tools. So I still think that his identity may not get fully established until he gets to the NHL. But right now in his draft year here, my hope is that everybody looks at what he brings to the table because he's gotten better every year and consistently he goes out there game in and game out, plays the game the right way, and he's got all the tools and I'm glad, his team is off to a great start and he's off to a great start. So he's going to be in the conversation. He's not one of those guys where you go, wow. But at the end of the day, he's got every bit as many points and check marks as the players that aren't giving you that wow game.
Yeah, tracking him a little bit there, Dan. Big shot, and actually, I'm hearing comparisons too from what I'm seeing to James Van Riemsdyk. So we know the career that James is having. So it's pretty good company there for Belchis. Moving on.
Well, if you wanted to go date yourself and go back there, I don't know that the OHL said anybody quite imposing like him since Erik Lindros. And on the offensive side, he's starting to show this year that he's really got that in him. So it is going to be interesting tracking him all season long.
Yeah, for sure. Defenseman Keaton Verhoef, 6'4", 212, looks pretty comfortable in his role as a top pairing D guy at the University of North Dakota. Is he the best defenseman available on the board at this time? He's a player that moves so smoothly for a guy his size.
Well, I was in Minneapolis on the weekend, saw him play. It was his second game in the NCAA. And top pairing, top minutes, special teams. You can see he's adapting to the league. He was trying things. He was pinching in on the plays. He was joining the rush. He's finding his way as to how he can navigate it at that level. But what really stands out with him is the poise and composure. When the puck is on his stick, when he's under forecheck pressure, he can skate his way out of trouble, but he's always got his head up and feet moving. He just never gets rattled, and he makes good choices, good decisions on the play. I think as he gets more confidence in the league there, he is going to try and do more on the offensive side. Where we'll see him joining the rush a lot, see him making the plays, setting up from the offensive blue line, getting pucks through to the net. But he's a smart hockey player and he approaches the game the right way. But I just think the composure that he brings, he's playing like he's a junior or senior in college as a freshman here.
Dan, staying with defensemen, Xavier Villeneuve from Blainville-Boisbriand in the Q. You know, the offensive skills and the skating appear to be high end. The hockey IQ and the decision making appear to be really good. I'm wondering about the defensive side of the game and how he's going to hold up. I think he's measuring in at 5'11" and about 160, 165 pounds. How have you seen him sort of handle the defensive side of the game while also being able to showcase the offensive side?
Adam, that's a question that, everyone is asking. And again, I'm going to go back to the biases that we all kind of bring to the table as scouts, in that just because he's small and offensive doesn't mean he lacks defensively. And somebody asked me about him the other day, and I said, 8 years. And they look and they go, "What do you mean 8 years?" I said, "Lane Hutson, 8 years, 8 year contract." So he right away, he's got somebody just down the street that he can look up to. And, there's been other players beforehand. You go back to the days with Chris Letang when they came in the league, they were considered undersized and they just take off because they have the talent. So, Lane is setting the trail for the players like Xavier that are coming up behind him. But this is his third year in the Quebec League. He was, I think, just under a point a game his first year, and he might have been minus. The team wasn't that good. The team was better last year. He was a point a game. He was a plus player. Now he's more than a point a game. He's a plus player. And he's in a spot there in Blainville where they've had coaching changes every year, which is an adjustment for a young player. And I think what everybody appreciates is that he's fearless for his size. He's not afraid to lead a rush. He's not afraid to take the puck. He's not afraid to go into traffic. But he's learned how to play without the puck, utilizing his smarts and his skating. He's so quick and agile. And as he moves forward here, you can see players like Xavier, players like Lane, they don't put themselves in situations where they have to rely on their physical attributes. And if they do try and play physical, chances are they're going to get hurt. So he's utilizing what he has to his advantage. And we always say, with our group, we want to focus on what they do well and the parts of his game that are lacking. If they're coachable and teachable, where they can improve, then it's really not a negative. So we don't see anything negative with Xavier. I think as he gains more experience, maturity in the coaching, there's different defensive tricks and techniques that he'll develop and be taught along the way, so that nobody's going to be drafting him to be a physical defenseman. They know what he brings to the table. Every team seems to key in on having one of those type of D-men in their lineup. So I think he's going to be appealing to a lot of teams that they want to have him on their reserve list as somebody coming up in their system.
Yeah, when I watch video of him, Dan, great at, I have my notes here, like great at deceiving opponents with his motion, the way he moves with the puck. So can quarterback a PP. And definitely, I know he models his game after Hutson, and he's an Axel Sandin Pelech type of guy.
Like I say, this is going on 3 years now, and every time I'm there, he's the player that I can't take my eyes off of every game. That's just the style that he plays. And when you can do that on such a consistent basis, it's real. It's not where they just have one game or, you can't really cheat or fake it. He's the real deal.
It appears as though Muskegon center Tynan Lawrence could return to the lineup October 24th or 25th, Dan. I know he's been sidelined with a little bit of an injury there to begin the season. Where does he rank among centers in this draft class?
Well, you're right. Like, Tynan has been out of sight with the injury, but not out of mind. And I'll go back to the summertime. There were a lot of scouts at Canada's U18 camp. He made the team, and arguably he was their best player at the Hlinka-Gretzky tournament. And he already was an impact player last year in Muskegon. So we just expect him just to take off from where he started. He's got, offensive hockey sense, all the tools, the speed, but he brings what I call like the three C's with his compete, his character, and his consistency. Those are things that you can't find on the score sheet. But when you watch the player, watch how he plays the game, his approach, how he gets things done, how he makes things happen out there. Again, this you can I can use the same line with him. He's the real deal. And I expect that when he comes back, he's going to impact and dominate most of the year. He's just a very solid first round candidate for this year's draft class.
Dan, one more defenseman I want to ask you about, Ryan Lynn from Vancouver. He leads Western League defensemen already in scoring. He's one of the first three players named to the roster for the CHL USA Prospects Challenge coming up here next month. When you watch Lynn as compared to the other defensemen available in this year's draft class, what makes Ryan stand out? What makes him special?
The thing about him is it's so impressive with the composure that he has to the game. Like, you cannot fluster this player. You can apply all the pressure you want. He just remains calm, cool, and collected. When the puck is on his stick, he's got his head up, his feet moving. He knows what his options are. He executes the plays even when he's under pressure. When he's under pressure, he knows to keep his feet moving. He knows the avenues where he should be placing the puck or advancing the puck. It's just the way he's got that sense to see the ice, but the poise and composure when the puck is on his stick. He's one of the, I think that, that's what makes him such a special prospect and makes him such a good player right now.
Dan, last one for you here. Any other A-rated players we need to keep an eye on who maybe aren't getting the attention right now?
Well, there are some that, when we started at the beginning of the year, we went through the first couple of weeks, like Kalyn Miholtra, Manny's son that plays in Brantford in the OHL. He's just popped right out. And he continues to put on a impressive showing for a first-year player. After the O'Briens and Van Ackers and the rest of them came back from NHL camps, he still has got his spot in the lineup, his place on the power play. And that's pretty telling for a 17-year-old to be able to maintain that position when you have all these high-end drafted players coming back into the lineup. There's a couple other players that are sticking out in Victoriaville. Shylov, the Russian prospect that's there, he's kind of come on the scene, and he's really just dominated with his skills and his smarts. They our scouts went in there, and they weren't quite sure what to do with him at the very beginning when they saw him. But like Igor Shylov is a player that's certainly going to draw the attention of all the scouts and he's already impacting. He's one of the top scorers in the league, and I think that's going to continue as we move along. And then there's one other player that we just moved up, Ilya Morozov, that plays at University of Miami on Ohio, and he's started off as a freshman on a tear. He's a freshman player there, but it's his coach that he had for 2 years in Tri-City in the USHL that's coaching Anthony Noreen at Miami of Ohio. So Anthony knows the player, and he's put him in a situation to succeed right off the bat as a freshman, and the kid has just seized that opportunity. So I think there's a lot of high-end skill and talent in this draft class that's just starting to pop out. I could go on with another half a dozen names here. There's players here. We just had a call where we updated a lot of players from the C category to the B, and we moved some Bs up to the A's. It's just an interesting start to the year. We like it when these players kind of pop out. I know you got JP Herbert at Kamloops, he's doing the same thing. He's leading the league in scoring right now coming in. There's a number of first-year players that are very impactful in all their leagues at the get-go here. So it's going to be fun kind of sorting them out as we move forward.
Absolutely. It's going to be great. And we will have you back on, Dan. Thank you so much for kicking off the start to the run to the 2026 draft with us today on NHL Draft Class.
My pleasure. Have a good day, guys.
Mike, that was great stuff from Dan. And I really liked what he talked about with Gavin McKenna, calling him a wizard, saying, they've had scouts at all of his games so far just to continue to hammer home how important a prospect he is and how good he is and how, he kind of agrees with sort of the consensus that Gavin McKenna has set himself apart from the rest of the field. And the really deep class that we have here for the 26th draft, nobody's going to rise above Gavin McKenna. Everybody's going to be number two. And that's sort of where the debate and discussion goes. And it's going to be a pretty robust discussion. We touched on a number of these guys, but we touched on a number of the North American players. There's a whole other international list that's going to come out, and there's guys that are going to be in that discussion for that number two, number three spot.
Yeah, and that's the great thing about this draft class. And as Dan discussed, like after McKenna, right, Adam, there's no consensus right now as who might hold that number two rating. And I think it's going to take at least half a season before we realize that. Hey, let's face it, Matthew Schaefer last year wasn't a consensus number one either. It took a few games after watching him and what he was able to accomplish, even in those 17 games that he did play, before we were able to realize just how special a player he was. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see who kind of steps forward to gain that number two, three, four, five spot there in the draft. But as you mentioned, internationally, there are several real good prospects here. We saw a few of them, right, Adam, at the World Junior Summer Showcase in August in Minnesota. Ivar Stenberg from Frölunda, 6 foot, 180 pounds. He played 25 games at the pro level last season. One of the older players of this draft class, September 3rd, 07 birth date, born just 2 weeks after the cutoff for the 25 draft. So just brings so much skill, doesn't stop moving the feet, creates plays. This is a player who could, from what I'm hearing, could be NHL ready next season, depending on how well he develops a full season in the SHL. And another player that we're tracking too, forward-wise internationally, Viggo Björk of Djurgården, the right wing there, 5'10", a little undersized at 5'10", 172. He teared up the J20 level last season, 74 points as a double underager last season. A game-breaking type of player, right, Adam? We watch this. He's a playmaker, great awareness and skill to consistently make difficult plays. I liked watching him at the summer showcase. A special kid. And as Dan said, the size thing is a little bit, people put too much of that into consideration in their draft eligible season. I think Vigo is going to be one of those players that defies the odds here as well. And then one other player that internationally I've been very impressed with, Malte Gustafsson, 6'4", 198 pounds in Sweden, HV71. Same as some of these other defensemen that we're seeing. He has that great awareness, a good sense of when to step up and make a play. Consistently angling opponents off the puck, great stick work. And he has some physical elements in his game as well, which I really like. Just needs to add a bit more strength, but has tremendous upside. So Gustafsson is another player internationally that I'm looking at. But I know defense, and that was one of the questions that you were asking, Dan Moore, Adam, defense looks really strong in this class.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of top-end defensemen. I want to go back to something you said about Matthew Schaefer last year, where he really kind of popped, was at the CHL USA Prospects Challenge when we were out in London in Guelph. And that's where he had that memorable moment where everybody remembers he loses his stick, he loses his glove on the penalty kill, and he's still out there blocking shots. That's where I think Schaefer really sort of took that giant step forward to say, I'm the number one guy, and it sort of carried out. Well, we're going to have another chance to view these top prospects at the CHL USA Prospects Challenge coming up here November 25th and 26th in Calgary and Lethbridge. Three players have already been named: Ryan Rubrek from Niagara in the Ontario League, Xavier Villeneuve from Blainville-Boisbriand in the Q, Ryan Lynn from Vancouver. Villeneuve and Lynn, a couple defense, and we talked about Rubrek, a giant forward. And we're going to see more of those guys in that setting. And again, there's a chance that one of them pops, or someone we haven't spoken about pops in a way that Schaefer does and really pushes himself to the head of what's going to be a really deep group. Maybe it's Ethan Belchets, who we talked about earlier with Dan. It's going to be a really fun group. I'm looking forward to seeing who else fills out those rosters, not just on the CHL side, but with the USA Hockey National Team Development Program as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a few players on the development program, making their mark this year. And, looking on the CHL side of things too, I mean, Daxon Rudolph, a right-handed defenseman from Prince Albert, 6'2", 203. Another play I'm looking forward to watching. Chase Reed, 6'2", 185, a defenseman from Sault Ste. Marie in the O. Solid last year in his rookie OHL season. Really good range, mobility. Another player looking forward to. And then another defenseman, Adam, from Prince George in the Dub, Carson Carroll's a left shot, smart and mobile. So tons of players here I'm looking forward to watching in that CHL USA Top Prospects game for sure.
So, Mike, as we dig into the 26 draft, we should take a chance to look back at the 25 draft. We enjoyed that 10-month run up, and for the fans who followed along, for the fans who didn't, you need to tune in to Welcome to the NHL. Episode one premiered right before the 25 draft. Episode two is on the air now. You can catch it. Sportsnet, ESPN Plus in the United States. It's also going to be available on NHL Network. It's titled Class of 2025, excuse me. And it takes you behind the scenes. It's a fantastic look at what these prospects, Matthew Schaefer, Michael Misa, Porter Martone, James Hagans among them, just it tracks them from the day of the draft in Los Angeles, the nerves of their family, which I really find interesting, how the parents are handling these moments. The kids, they're just bopping along. This is just another, it's a big moment for them, but for the parents, it's sort of more of a culmination of 18 years of dedication to seeing their children succeed. Was really impressed by just the way the parents just sort of were nervous wrecks, really. And it was to me, it was interesting. Like, as a parent, I have a son who's literally the same age as these guys. So seeing how he sort of developed in his life, I understand the mindset of what these folks are going through. But it's not just there. The cameras are with Brady Martin on his farm in northern Ontario, and see him with the cows, and seeing the draft party with the TVs on the tractor. And then right on through, the draft moments, the stress, the waiting, the wondering, who's going to call my name? Where am I going to go? Inside the war rooms, you see what Nashville is thinking before they take Brady Martin, what Boston is doing before they take James Hagans. And Boston, it was really interesting. Boston got a last-minute phone call. They had a real decision to make there. What are they going to do? So it's really cool. I highly suggest you go watch it. I highly suggest Welcome to the NHL, Class of 2025. It is available Sportsnet in Canada, ESPN, ESPN Plus, NHL Network in the United States. Mike, we sort of lived along with these kids through the draft run to see sort of behind the scenes. It was phenomenal. You've seen it. What stood out to you from that show?
Yeah, it was really well done, as you mentioned there, Adam. I the thing that I was always looking forward to hearing or seeing was, and it was that emotional moment when Schaefer was selected number one by the Islanders and went up on the stage, pulled the jersey over his head. He saw the purple ribbon, Hockey Fights Cancer ribbon on the jersey, and he got all emotional. And you can see, you're thinking to yourself, "Oh my gosh, this is going to be something." And then on the show, you're able to hear what Commissioner Gary Bettman told Matthew Schaefer in that moment, because all we can see on the television screen was Mr. Bettman saying something to Matthew, but you weren't sure what he said. So that was another classic moment in my eyes, and learning what was said, and before Matthew meets the managerial team for the Islanders, I thought was really special. I also love, and you touched on this a little bit, Adam, just being in the hotel rooms with all these players when they're getting into their suits and their jackets, and you see all the pictures, inside the jackets, and the people that meant so much to them throughout their hockey careers, and to get them to where they are, and that in that particular moment, that particular setting, I thought was really, really special. And again, just to see the expressions on the faces of the parents, and in many cases the siblings that happen to be there with these particular players. We saw it from Schaefer. We saw Michael Mesa and his family, Anton Frondell. You mentioned Brady Martin. Porter Martone was a part of James Hagans. And that was another one, right? Speaking of James Hagans, the moment he was selected when Adam Sandler made the draft pick, and Sandler saying, "Hey, how you doing? Welcome here, homie." It was a pretty special moment for James Hagan. So a real, real well done show. I encourage everyone to check it out. You could see it on all platforms, and it's on it's you can catch it there on NHL.com as well.
Yeah, welcome to the NHL episode 2. Class of 2025, available anywhere you like your hockey. And you can also go back and watch part one. That's available as well. Came out before the draft. You can see the road that kind of led them to episode 2 and getting chosen in Los Angeles. But we'll now kind of engage with the class of 2026 and see where these guys go and have as we get to their eventual welcome to the NHL moment. This is just a kickoff. The players, the watch list, available now on NHL.com. Mike, the road begins here, the long road, but it'll be a fun road.
It's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it, Adam.
Absolutely. But as of now, NHL draft class is dismissed.